Christians first in Antioch. I wonder why. Why were they called Christians? Why did the world look at these people, the city of Antioch, a mixed congregation? That is, people who were Jewish and others who were Gentiles. The Bible tells us that they were called Christians. And it seems that they were called Christians perhaps in derision. They did not call themselves Christians first at Antioch. It's a term that was applied perhaps by their enemies because they saw in the lives of these people a likeness and a similarity to the life and the teachings and the attitudes of Jesus Christ. And they were called Christians. What is a Christian? And I suppose to ask that question is to bring condemnation from some sources. Because I rather suspect people would loudly answer, why everyone knows what a Christian is. There is no darkness that surrounds that particular question, Brother Penn. I know what a Christian is. Why, we have a Christian nation. Hundreds and thousands and millions and multiplied millions of people go to church in America every Sunday. We've got hundreds of hours of television and hundreds of hours of radio, and we've got multitudes of publications. Our nation is a Christian nation. There are churches everywhere. There are great churches, huge churches. There are smaller churches, but there are many, many churches. So America is a Christian nation. If you even want to get broader than that in trying to describe the locality of those who are called Christians in this world, just by virtue of the fact that we live in the Western Hemisphere, would probably be enough for us to be called Christians by the sociologists and by the media, because the world is divided into two broad categories, and that is the Western Hemisphere, where all the Christians live and where all are Christians, and the Eastern Hemisphere, where people are Muslim or who belong also perhaps to the mystery religion. So since I live in the Western Hemisphere, I must be a Christian. Or perhaps people might say, I'm an American. What do you think I am, a heathen? All Americans are Christians. We all believe in God. We all are under that great umbrella of Judeo-Christian ethics. Why, it's the very foundation of our government. Why, it's the foundation of our whole system, the Judeo-Christian ethic. If you're not a Christian in America, you're a Jew, and that's just about as good because they believe in the Ten Commandments just like we do. We might even narrow it down a little bit to the definition of ignorance. That is, the definition of Christian that's offered by the ignorant. And it doesn't really make much difference whether you know what you're talking about or not when it comes to defining Christianity, because we have such an ingrained attitude toward plurality in religion that everyone's an expert. So we have Christianity defined, or the question answered, what is Christianity? We often have it answered by the ignorant and the more ignorant. There are those who believe that a Christian is someone who believes in God. And a person who doesn't believe in God is a pagan or a heathen. And those are the two broad categories. I believe in God. I'm a Christian. I believe in God. A Christian might be defined by some as someone who has a Bible. Junior is going to college. So mother buys him a Bible and packs it in his luggage. Son, you need to take this with you to college. After all, you're a Christian. Men leaving for war, given New Testament. Son, you need to take this. After all, you're a Christian. Why, there's that Bible lying right there on my coffee table, or at least it's around here somewhere. Our home is a Christian home. Why? Well, we've got a Bible somewhere. Might even get it down to a finer definition by saying a Christian is someone that goes to church. Well, I know I'm a Christian because I go to church. And I've gone 2 or 3 times a year ever since my mother took me as a baby. I never miss church on Christmas. And I never miss church on Easter. I know what a Christian is, preacher. I'm a Christian. Oh, well, you know, I don't go to church all that much. And I don't, you know, I just sort of, I guess you'd sort of say I am sort of backslid. But, you know, I'm a Christian. Might even draw a finer bead on it and say, I know I'm a Christian because I've been baptized. Really doesn't make any difference how or when or under what circumstances, but sprinkled, poured, or immersed, just like it teaches in the Bible, you know, every man is to decide for himself. God's happy whichever way we do it. And doesn't make any difference what denomination we're in, because after all, we're all working for the same place. And all roads lead to heaven, whether you're this, that, or the other, whether you believe it's by grace or by works. After all, God's not fussy about things like that. We pretty well let a man decide for himself. Are you a Christian, sir? Well, yes, I am. I am a Christian. Oh? Well, my mother and daddy were Christians, and I went to church when I was a little boy. Is that right? Yes, I never interfere if my wife and children want to go. One son's this, my daughter's that, my grandchildren's something else, which just proves how broad-minded I am. I'm like God. Make me any difference where my children go to church, because I just want them to be a Christian. I don't want them bogged down in a lot of denominational and theological isolated sort of doctrinal statements and issues. I'm just sort of broad-minded like God is. I just doesn't make much difference. But am I a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. Think I'm a heathen? Certainly I'm a Christian. Do you go to church? Well, no. Do you support the church? Well, I tell you what, I don't like to see my money go just to a lot of stuff that, I mean, I'd like to see it stay here in the States, and all these people are just sending money off here and paying these preachers and missionaries, and I can't really see that kind of waste, but, you know, I am a Christian. perhaps the smartest thing I ever heard Billy Graham say, just because you were born of Christian parents, it doesn't mean you're a Christian. He said some people were born in a garage and that doesn't make them automobiles. What is a Christian? Well, the media oftentimes tells us that this man is the leader of a Christian cult. They've uncovered 6 bodies on his farm, and now he's eluding the authorities who are seeking to arrest him. And this leader of this Christian cult, all the media loves to call people like that Christians, don't they? Sociologists, they can reach back into the times when men were evolving from lower to higher creatures and see some of the symbolic acts that have to do with water and the tribal mannerisms and customs and say, yes, religion has evolved, just like cooking, just like writing, like literature, like medicine. It has evolved into this monotheism called Christianity, where there are some really strong hints that this sort of lifestyle might benefit the individual and the community. What is Christianity? Is there a way that we can possibly know? Is there a source from which we can find an authoritative answer to the question, what is a Christian? And I thank God that there is an authoritative source, and that source is the Bible. The source is not me, and the source is not you, and the source is not the media, and the source is not the church, and the source is not sociology nor psychology. But the source is the Bible. God's inspired holy word. It will tell us the attributes and characteristics of a Christian, and it will define to us how these people, and it will reveal to us how these people came to be known as Christians. And it wasn't after some 15 or 20 or 30 years that they were called Christians. It was after 1 year of intensive Bible teaching and Bible study that they were then called Christians. So the idea that we'd have to look at someone's life over a long period of time before we could ever decide an answer to the question, what is a Christian, is simply not true. In fact, the idea that you'd have to be any age, or the idea you'd have to be of any economic status, or the idea that you'd have to be of some particular race of people, or some particular gender. It just says they were called Christians first at Antioch. And they, I'm sure, refers to the people who were members of that body of Christ located in the city of Antioch, both Jew and Gentile, bond and free, male and female. Let's look at this process that, according to the Word of God, produced Christians. And this, remember, is a part of the answer to the question, what is a Christian? We're looking at a process And thank God for this particular revelation. I don't think it's accidental that the writer of Acts recorded this. I don't think it's accidental at all. I think God wanted it recorded, and I think it's important that it's recorded. But let's look at these things together in the 11th chapter of Acts. In verse 19, it begins by telling us how they received the gospel. That is, literally, the mechanics of it. Now, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, perhaps we'd like to see where these people, in a special service at the Jerusalem church, went forward and made a commitment and a public surrender to do God's will and go out and visit and teach and witness. Maybe we'd like to see that. Maybe we'd like for these people to be able to say, I made a decision that I was going out into the world and witness for Jesus. They didn't make that decision. It's made for them. It's made for them by the council that judged Christianity to be blasphemy and heresy. And following the death of Stephen, evidently there was a tremendous persecution that fell upon the believers at Jerusalem. Not from paganism, but from Judaism. And under this lash, the Bible tells us that God just sowed them. They were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen. They traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus. Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And that's a condemnation within itself. And oftentimes we find people in the Bible, and just because they're mentioned in the Bible, we make of them heroes. And we color them perfect. But here were people who were in the face of the command of Jesus Christ, command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, had decided they would not preach but to the Jews only. They were prejudiced and biased. They didn't love the souls of Gentile people. They loved the souls of the Jews, their brethren, their neighbors. And they were very, very inclusive in their preaching. Now the Bible tells us that some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Some way, somehow, someone sort of stepped outside the agreement that these people had by their actions seemed to conclude anyway, and that is they just witnessed and preached to some Gentiles, and when they did, the Gentiles were saved. Rather extraordinary event. In fact, it was of such a concern to the church at Jerusalem that they sent someone to investigate it. Not someone to rejoice in it, not someone to go find out how wonderful it is and report back to us, but go find out what's going on. And there's something we forget about all this that's recorded in verse 21. And that is, the writer tells us the hand of the Lord was with them. And it seems that's one of the things that we forget. Because we've got organization. And we've got money. And we've got seminars. And we've got instruction. And we've got leading brethren who know how to do it. And they can tell us how to do it. We've got publications. We're intelligent, sophisticated. We can put the mechanics of the world and plug it into the work of God. A great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Now I want to just plug this in. From the viewpoint of looking at it as that which produces Christians. Now the Bible tells us they were called Christians first at Antioch. By what process did they become Christians? Well, those who divide the Great Commission into three parts would probably have stopped here and said, that's enough. We've seen a lot of people saved, so let's go on and see a lot more people saved. But the news of this came to the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. Now, why did they send Barnabas? The Bible says he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit, had faith. And much people was added unto the Lord. But it seems like Barnabas perhaps viewed himself as an inferior teacher. I really don't know his motives because the Bible doesn't reveal it. Maybe they were many and varied. But the Bible tells us that he departed and went to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Well, let's look at these seven things. Perhaps there are more. Perhaps there are fewer. These are the things I see that produced Christians. First of all, they had the word preached to them. And this is sort of an overview of what I intend to elaborate on for the next several messages. They had the word preached to them. And he said, but what else did these men who were scattered abroad, what else did they do? What other programs did they bring? Other than to preach the Word of God. We know that that in itself is vain. that it never brings the success that we want. And I think the idea of the majority of people today is that this won't work. And the evidence that it won't work is proven. In this scarcely seated auditorium. But I think what we're trying to say is that it won't work like we want it to work. That it won't produce what we want it to produce. And so we've abandoned it. Oh, not abandon it in that we're not willing to do it, but we're willing to do it only in a certain context of social activity. That we cannot reach the masses of our world by preaching the Word of God. We've got to find a magic way to reach people other than by preaching. And I'm going to get to what is a Christian, because I think these people were witnessing to their city, to their kinfolk, to their cousins, to their neighbors and to their friends, which is just as much a part of Christianity as any other activity that is taught in the Word of God. I talked with some of the younger men who really weren't preachers, but I asked them, I said, you know, I'm here as a guest in your country, and why don't you just, you know, sit down and talk to me and tell me what you think. And they were agreeable, and we ordered the a ski. Now, that's not what you wear on your feet. It's a lime drink, okay? And very popular in India. So we sat and we talked. And I said, what do you think needs to be done in order to have a more dramatic effect on the people in India? And they agreed 100%. That in order to reach more people, in fact, they said, the American Baptist churches will never amount to anything in India until they get involved in some social programs. I said, what do you mean, social programs? And he said, you've got to offer the people more. And I quote this from memory, but I remember it. You've got to offer the people more than simply preaching the Word of God. And I said, what would you suggest? And he said, well, I'd suggest, first of all, that you establish a school. And I said, you mean a Bible Institute? And they said, no, not a Bible Institute. Not a lot of people want to go to a Bible Institute. And I said, you mean a college? And he said, yes. I think that the Missionary Baptist people need to establish a college here in the sort of the center of the work. And I said, what else? And he said, well, I think that we need really to buy a number of buses. And I said, for what purpose? And he said, to send out in these regions and pick up students and bring them to the college. I said, well, do they need to be Missionary Baptist? And he said, of course not. I said, this is what I'm talking about, Brother Penn. There has to be social activity along with preaching, or you cannot reach the Indian people. And I said, well, what about a hospital? And he said, we need a hospital. You know, if you're going to do any mission work of any real extent in India, you need some medical missionaries and you need a hospital. And I thought of William Carey and the tragedy of the work of William Carey and the fact that he succumbed to this very kind of thinking. And it was in India where he worked, not too awfully far from where our work is, on the other coast, but just straight across, maybe 800 miles. And Carey succumbed to the pressure of people in higher places. And Carey started his colleges. Not Bible schools, colleges. Medical missions. And Carey hadn't been dead 50 years until all his work was primarily a social work rather than a ministry of the Word of God. And that's all that remains today. It's William Carey College, William Carey Hospital, no William Carey Church. Dr. T.P. Crawford, when he went to China, found exactly the same thing. Mission work there had been going on for almost 100 years, and he found this as an entrenched method of using, quote, methods for evangelism, not just the method God gave us, which is our feet and our tongues to travel and preach, but other things. He said, but it won't work. It worked here. He said, but we don't live in those times, preacher. We don't live in those times. Can't you understand? Get it through your thick head. We live in America, 1990. We're not living in Antioch in ancient times. It's not enough. But I disagree. And I disagree strongly. Preaching is the best and the only instrument that God has given us, whether it's one-on-one or one-on-multitudes. For it hath pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Now it may not please you, and it may not please our modern world, and it may not please our modern mission program, nor our modern missionaries. But I rather suspect if it pleases God, then we ought to leave it there. It's not that we don't know what to do, and it's not that we don't have the equipment. We're just not doing what needs to be done according to the Word and will of God, which is people who live godly lives telling others about Christ. That's all we need. And that's the equipment God has given us. But that's all the equipment we need. We don't need any money. And we don't need a gymnasium. And we don't need a lot of buses. We just need to use our feet and our tongue. And most of us have those. Well, I didn't get finished, and that's the wonderful thing about preaching like I am. I can work on it some this afternoon and work on it some more next Sunday morning till I've brought us, hopefully, to an answer of what is a Christian. Now, this is what produces a Christian. This is what made one back then. Why wouldn't it make one now? I think it would.